I'm Fred Wilkinson, chief editor of the National Provisioner. Today I'm speaking with Milan Patel. He is CEO of Pathogen DX. Milan, thanks for joining us today. To get things started, could you tell us a little bit about Pathogen DX and what it offers meat and poultry processors?
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Fred. First of all, thanks for having me on the show here. I really appreciate it. Very excited to be honest with you, talking to you and answering these questions, because we're at this precipice of launching a very, very different product for the meat and poultry industry called Cerox, S-E-R-O, and it's superscripted X. And what Pathogen DX has done is basically it's a molecular diagnostics company. We develop testing technologies, basically testing kits to simplify testing of pathogens, which is bacterial, fungal, and viral organisms, very simply at a fraction of the cost, time, and effort that traditional testing is done in the food industry, for example. So specifically, what we're going to offer in the world of meat and poultry producers is, when you look at meat testing, in the case of beef, there's a specific E. coli that they test, 0157. That's a pathogenic E. coli. It goes all the way back when you and I were, driving through Jack in the Box, and we all are very familiar, some of us, around the issues that Jack in the Box faced with respect to a specific E. coli outbreak in their hamburgers and their beef burgers. And so that was a certain strain of E. coli. Our product called Cerox is focused on Salmonella and a certain, what is called a strain or a serovar or a serotype. And that's basically a subspecies of the original Salmonella that's normally in chicken. Now, most chicken or poultry typically always have a lot of Salmonella. And the issue is, for 10 years, the number of Salmonella infections have not come down, as sort of monitored and tracked and traced by the CDC. So essentially, for 10 years, people have gotten sick, people have died, essentially, to a large degree. And we've all read about and heard about and seen the number of foodborne outbreaks in Salmonella specifically. But for specifically the poultry industry, what has happened is that the consumer products groups have put impending pressure on the USDA, which is the federal government body that basically regulates meat, eggs, and dairy. And in that particular case of meat, both the beef as well as the poultry products. And so the Cerox allows us to test for 12 or 13 different serotypes, strains, in a simple test. And that test is done in a matter of 2 days versus the 5 days it takes today. And so that's what we're delivering, is the ability to simplify that test by looking at many serotypes that cause roughly around 65% of all infections that are Salmonella, caused by Salmonella, as monitored and tracked by CDC. And that's what we have delivered in terms of a unique technology that's brought about testing for Salmonella through a patented product branded by the name of D3 Arrays. And I can get more into it as we sort of talk more.
So it sounds like one of the advantages that this offers is rapid turnaround times for pathogen testing. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, because essentially the way things are done is, whenever you're dealing with a large piece of meat, beef, or chicken, you have to sort of basically have to enrich it overnight, meaning you put it in a broth where if there is that strain, Salmonella on it, it promotes the growth of it so that the actual test will detect it. So you have to go through what is called a primary enrichment. And the current process goes through a secondary enrichment as well, because the primary doesn't work as well. So then they have to plate it, meaning they have to put it through Petri dish testing or culture, and then they confirm that the salmonella is in there through a single colony test, which is called a serology test, using sort of an anti-sera or protein-based test. And all of that takes roughly 5 days. What we have done is off of out of the primary enrichment of a piece of meat of poultry, we go straight into that test and are able to hone in, like target in that salmonella that's in that broth, in that enrichment sample. And so it's a more of a sort of a laser approach specifically on targeting that salmonella. And once you identify that salmonella, we're able to, within that same salmonella, I tell you which substrain or strain it is, which whether it's, you know, there are certain strains such as, I'll give you some examples, such as enteritis. Enteritis is the number one strain that the poultry industry looks for, whether it's in eggs or in meat, that they have to discard the birds, meaning that the poultry meat itself, and in some cases with the eggs, they have to cull basically the poultry, the hens themselves.
So the development of this, has this been in response to USDA guidance regarding pathogen testing, or has this been more driven from an industry side of food companies wanting to have this type of detection option?
You know, it's a call to action and brilliant question, actually, Fred. It's a call to action because last year in 2021, the USDA had a couple of roundtables basically focusing on this. So we sort of know that at a set point in time, it's going to be federal regulations. What's happening is that the industry is sort of voluntarily testing for based upon, you know, safety concerns, of course. But when they're, what's going to happen is when the USDA actually does actually put in the regulations, all poultry manufacturers, egg manufacturers will be required to test. So, you know, the good news is we responded to that USDA roundtable by sort of saying, look, let's just go do this, primarily because the methods that are currently in place are too long to get a result, are too costly, you know, too cumbersome for a high volume testing lab in the poultry industry to test, you know, in an efficient and, you know, easy manner. And that's what we've sort of done in developing the SeroX test.
And to make sure my understanding is clear, this is a product that would be used at, say, the processing stage rather than, say, the farm stage?
That's correct. Yes, it would be definitely in the processing stage, basically, you know, past the broiler stage and, you know, basically the harvesting stage at the end of the day. So the meat comes out at the end of the day, and then that's where we will, you know, where a lot of the poultry manufacturers themselves, to a large degree, will have their either third-party labs or their own labs that they will test, you know, both the salmonella itself, but the type of cerevar that's in, you know, contaminating the product.
Okay. So how can using this method, how would it mesh with meat and poultry processors or handlers, other food safety protocols or efforts?
You know, we can basically, it's not a one size fits all. It's not that it's not from, you know, farm all the way through, you know, basically the harvesting or the broiler stage. At the end of the day, there's only key areas where I think we can work well with them. We have a different technology called EnviroXF, which can basically, look for salmonella contamination in a plant processing, basically off of environmental swabs. And that's an approach we basically can work with meat and poultry processors to quickly identify within 6 hours the isolation of pathogens within a plant to stop it from spreading on the actual product and having the outbreak at that point. And so we've sort of developed a first generation version of this technology that doesn't really require the enrichment. And our approach is basically, you know, offering up the ZeroX as a starting point, but then going upstream to their processes and really determining what is more, even more time efficient to identify things that are, you know, whether it's surfaces on a conveyor belt that could continue to contaminate the actual product itself, the chicken meat itself, and finding those sources much more rapidly to prevent the meat from being contaminated. And our approach is that in working with that approach in terms of the environmental safety first, identification of those pathogens and preventing it on the actual matrix, you see.
What role would this play in the overall, say, product traceability effort for a processor?
I think we in this part of the thing is what we're focusing on are the things that make people sick, which is the human pathogens for Salmonella. We've focused on that. And so the idea here is at some point we can expand the technology to see if what you're identifying on the actual chicken meat itself, are you picking up within the supply chain or the environmental piece of it? And so that is a more difficult one where you're trying to match the resident serotype that you found on meat and make sure it's resident on the actual plant itself. So you can actually link the two to protect the manufacturers themselves specifically, and they can isolate it versus, how do I explain it? If you find something that's a resident Salmonella serotype, and we can pick an example. For example, let's just say it's Newport. There's a particular strain of Salmonella called Salmonella Newport, okay? And that Newport Salmonella, if you identify it on the meat, and then you sort of, swab the plant and you identify that it's not really Newport because it's genetically slightly different, that means it's a transient strain, and effectively there's no match. And so that then the meat producer or the processor is protected from a standpoint of the FDA not necessarily clamping down on them because of a mismatch, because there's no match. And that's an important distinction. It's very somewhat complicated. Where the FDA can come in as an enforcement regulatory body is they could come down and shut down a poultry manufacturer if there is a direct match and the manufacturer hasn't done anything about it. That means what they did was they were able to identify that the strain of that Newport was on a drain or on a conveyor belt, wound up on a poultry meat that got to the grocery store. Somebody ate it, got sick and died. And that matching in terms of how we are able to specifically, help them on a product traceability is what we can do over the course of time. Once we implement the ZeroX test on meat, we know the 12 or 13 serovars that are important. If we can then develop one for their plants, those 12 or 13 will have a matching principle to say, I swabbed X, I found it on meat Y, and somebody ate it, at Z point in time. There's a match here, and therefore the manufacturer, in the meat did something about it or didn't do something about it, and that information was in the manufacturer's hands, and they're either protected, or in the case of their regular enforcement body, they may come down on them with sort of some level of enforcement, whether shutting it down, doing a recall, implementing a fine,
So it sounds like it can really help processors identify where the source of contamination is coming from in their operation.
Yeah, to a limited degree, wherever a product is touching, it makes more sense. I mean, these plants are huge. It's hard. You go to a chicken manufacturing process or where there's hens laying eggs. I mean, think about it. The whole area is full of Salmonella. But the question is, that product, that the eggs or the meat coming out, is it truly of, is it truly free of the adulterants of Salmonella that could cause people sick and die? So there is a pathway that we believe we can get to. Now, The one caveat is there's 3,000 serotypes in Salmonella. So not all 3,000 are dangerous, right? There's probably, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 that are bad. So identifying the preponderance of most of them that could cause people sick or die is where you want to spend most of your calories and your energy helping to isolate that.
Definitely help with processors' efficiency overall in handling their food safety and pathogen testing.
Yes.
Okay. Kind of along similar lines, what waste reduction or sustainability advantages can processors realize by using this system?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you look at our technology and if you had to test the way that things are getting tested, it's using a lot of lab environmental waste, okay? Because you're having, if we can test 13 things in a single well, and you're not using, you know, 13 different, you know, individual tests that's creating plastic lab waste, okay? Which is a problem specifically overall in terms of environmental sustainability. And so what we've done is we've introduced key technology like an automated sample prep that just uses one tip for, you know, from the raw sample to the purified DNA, and not 4 to 8 tips per sample. If you have 100 chicken samples and you have to use 4 to 8, you're going from 400 to 800 pieces of plastic down to just 100. That is a substantial reduction in environmental waste for sustainability in terms of managing that waste that doesn't go into, you know, landfills or in the ocean, right? At the end of the day. And this is where it's important, where that's the waste reduction that our technology provides. It's almost at the end of the day, between 70 to 80% reduce waste with our automated sample prep technology. With our D3 microarray, which is a patented array that allows you to test up to 100 things in triplicate, you're avoiding the need to do 100 individual tests using 100 individual plastic pieces of labware. And that's where we're focused on in crushing the simplicity of the test by using less environmental, less plastic to reduce that environmental waste.
Is there anything else that meat and poultry processors would benefit from knowing about Pathogen DX?
I think thank you for that question. You know, when you look at where the FDA, USDA is going, the meat and poultry manufacturers know that this is just a starting point, that the first step is to sort of implement these regulations that are coming. We don't know when, but that are going to need to be testing for all of these sort of strains of Salmonella called serotypes that are going to reduce infections. And the point around all of this is that it's only going to increase the number of serotypes over the course of time, because, you know, technology is improving, right? Molecular technology is improving, costs are coming down, we're simplifying the art of testing. And so my point around all of this is that the increase of all of these pathogens, we don't have to do it serially, meaning it's not just a Lego block approach. You use one block for one test, two blocks for two tests, three blocks for three tests. In our case with Pathogen DXD3 technology, it's fractional. That means every additional target just costs one penny for us to implement. So we are not increasing the cost of food manufacturers linearly like plate culture or other methods. Ours is fractional. So we're able to do it for a fraction of the cost and with the same fraction of effort in a high throughput lab that they're running, right? And in a fraction of the time. And that is important for them to get the answer quickly, to make sure the product is safe in the hands of consumers, right? They can do it profitably in terms of the testing. If the government, USDA, asks to test for a lot more frequent testing and a lot more pathogens to be tested, right? And basically, you can test a lot more product as well at the same time without breaking the bank. And that's where food poultry manufacturers would you know, that's what poultry manufacturers should know about our unique D3 array technology, specifically all formatted in a new product called Zero-X that can help that those specific pain points that they've historically and traditionally gone through that they continue to face. But we have solved that, we've cracked the code on that to help them to do it, you know, in advance of regulations coming down by the USDA.
Well, Melon, thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Fred. Thank you very much for these questions. They were very thought-provoking. You know, we're all trying to drive the right thing with the poultry and meat manufacturers and processors. And I think, you know, I think we can do that together, you know, to make it much safer in terms of their industry, as well as consumers getting safe product in their hands, you know.
All right, well, thank you.